This is John Stefanini, and this is March 9, 2020. We're in the Executive Conference Room, and it is the Subcommittee on Ordinances and Rules. And it is 6:01, and we're going to call the meeting to order. With me in the meeting at the moment is Member Phil Ottaviani, and we're waiting on Tracy Bryant. Just so that that's there for everybody. So welcome. I know you guys, a lot of folks are tonight focused on 703 Central Street. On our agenda tonight, we have call to order, which we've done, public participation, discussion of a hearing, a draft ordinance that's been referred to us on the demolition delay bylaw, meeting member reports, and then adjournment. Any public participation? Seeing none. I will open the hearing discussion, and if we could, it would be helpful and if you could introduce yourself for the record and tell us a little bit about the proposal in front of us. And then we can have a little discussion about it, and hopefully we'll get it done tonight, and we can bring the conversation back to the full council.
Sure. So my name is Jen Daugherty. I'm the city's historic preservation planner. I staff the Historical Commission and the Historic District Commission. So over the past year or so, the Historical Commission has been working on updates to the city's demolition delay bylaw. The bylaw was passed by town meeting in 1991, and it requires the Historical Commission to review the demolition permit for any building in the city, any structure in the city, I should say, 75 years and older. Currently, the commission can impose either a 6 or 12 month delay on any demolition, depending on the historical significance of the building. The changes that the commission has proposed largely relate to process, as there's a few places in where we found in recent years where we can improve the process to serve both the commission and the applicants better. And then we also propose changes to some of the timelines for review and then also the length of the delay period. So the main change to the application process is that we are going to introduce an application that will come in directly to the Historical Commission rather than going to Inspectional Services and then to the Historical Commission. We're proposing to move all deadlines for decisions to 30 calendar days, which will give additional time to research and visit a property, provide notice to abutters, and will also not require the Historical Commission to call any special meetings. We have also now added a requirement for notice to abutters, the city councilor for the district, and the planning board, which the current bylaw does not have. And then finally, the Historical Commission has voted to extend the delay period for all properties to 2 years. So that's sort of the gist of what we're proposing.
So, is it okay if we call you Jen?
Yes, that's what I prefer.
Jen, if you could walk us through how this is going to work for two properties side by side. Take one property that has some level of historic significance to it, Pleasant Street or Ames or the Otis Building, and then take a Campanelli slab. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of them, that are close to 75 years of age, and a neighbor decides that they don't like the design or something that's going to happen in the Campanelli slab, and a neighbor wants to tear it down and add it two stories, fill it out. How does this application work for these, for person A and person B, mm-hmm. sort of going through the process, mm-hmm. and how do we capture A, which is the intention, mm-hmm. without ensnaring B in an unintentional mm-hmm. sort of trap where neighbors have, you know,
So I think the important thing to remember in really any historic preservation regulation is that it's based on the significance of the property, and the commission is charged with reviewing that significance. It really does not take into account neighborhood input in the way that a planning board or a ZBA does. You know, it's focused on, you know, did George Washington sleep here? You know, was this designed by whoever? You know, it's focused on those issues. And really a lot of times, and I think Paul can attest to this, the historical commission does not take into account what is going to be replacing the demolition. You know, it's really focused on the significance of the property. And so, you know, even in the past, you know, I've been here for about 4 years now, we have only delayed one building. You know, there's been plenty of buildings that come up for demolition, usually at least 10 a year, but they've only delayed one building. And so it's, you know, really, we don't get into any of that sort of neighbor on neighbor fighting.
But in this instance, you're going to go from taking up 10 to everybody's going to come to you as first, correct? So these two applicants are both, so applicant A and applicant B mm-hmm. want to do work, they need a building permit.
Yep.
Instead of going to the building department, they're first going to come to you.
Not no. if they need work, if they want a demolition, right?
If they want a demolition.
Right, but that's
the yeah,
form.
So
that's the form I just handed them.
Is this the current form?
No, so that's what we're proposing.
Okay.
So the issue with the way the demolition delay bylaw is set up right now is that it actually requires an applicant to submit their full demolition permit application to Inspectional Services, and then Inspectional Services forwards that down to us.
Right.
If you look at the existing demolition permit application, however, it requires a lot of things. It requires utility disconnects, it requires Board of Health sign-off, everything like that. And so you could be potentially in a situation where an applicant, you know, pulls all the utilities out of their building, and then the historical commission delays the demolition, and now you have a building sitting there for a year with no utilities.
Right.
So that's why we're proposing this sort of intermediary application, where people would then come to us, and then they would just, you know, fill out a simple application so we have information on the property owner, whatever, and we can move forward with our process before they actually move forward with the full demolition permit process. We're not saying that, like, everyone is going to come to us. It's obviously still going to be triggered by that 75 years or older. We're not removing that 75 years. So, you know, if that Campanelli is not 75 years old, we don't care. You know, we don't do anything with that. But if it is 75 years old, then they would have to come to us. And so what I was going to say earlier was the bylaw, when it was originally passed, was the trigger point was 50 years.
Right.
Because that is sort of the standard historic preservation trigger for review. But a number of years ago, it was moved back to 75 years, specifically so that we wouldn't be reviewing all those Campanellis. However, obviously, time has now passed, and so we're getting back up into that 75 years that we're starting to capture some of those buildings. And I don't think the Historical Commission has really considered that yet. We haven't really, you know, in this process, we didn't talk about the 75-year trigger. We were just going to sort of leave it as is for now.
Which is... Go ahead, I'm
sorry.
We
probably would consider, say, when it gets close, 75 starts hitting the Campanellis, then we'd probably maybe up it.
You're only a few years away from that.
But I know that. But right now, like you said, we didn't really, you know, look at what's coming up before us. We wanted to straighten out the problem we had with, you know, people bypassing us and then coming in after the fact, you know. And then what's that, the significance is the CRI. I don't know,
yes.
if you know, that's the list. If you're on the CRI, that you're automatically significant.
Right.
You see, this is a list that's a public list.
It's all the town, the city has.
Yes. And it gets updated as we go.
Yeah.
You know, we'll update it if this property, and I think, what is it, the Southside Gen they're working on?
Yeah, so we're in a process. So this, the CRI, a lot of the work that was done for the CRI was done back in the 80s, and it really doesn't capture all the significant historic buildings in the city. So we've been working over the past several years with grants from the Massachusetts Historical Commission to document properties on the south side primarily. We also did Saxonville a few years ago as well, to start adding some more properties to the CRI and getting a more complete picture of, you know, historic buildings in Framingham.
When you do the CRI, do you use the ratings, the national rating system, 1, 2, 3, 4, in terms of the significance of the buildings, or do you just say that they might be eligible for?
We don't do National Register eligibility because that's a very specific rating system, but we, you know, we look at what is significant in Framingham. We sort of apply it more, you know, specifically at a local level.
So explain to me what that means.
So there's properties that may, you know, to be listed on the National Register, it's a very intensive process, and it's a very, it needs to be a very high level of significance. But there may be properties in Framingham that, you know, don't meet that level of significance, but that we feel still are significant to the history of Framingham.
But the National Registry takes that into consideration. You don't have to be registered. You can be eligible to be registered, or you can be a contributing factor to an eligible property.
Yep.
It's the reason I'm asking is I was looking through other bylaws. It seems like communities that have thought this through in a very careful way try to mirror the federal standards so that there's actually a standard as opposed to the subjective view of
a bunch of commissioners. And the Historical Commission, we've had a few new members recently, so we've gone over, you know, how to determine the significance of a building. There's, you know, documents put out by the Park Service about that. And so they use that ranking. It's just that we don't go forward with National Register eligibility for.
But you do use the criteria.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was really what I was asking. Yeah. I'm sorry if I was not clear. Phil, questions?
I'm all right now.
So following through on this, so the A and the B, they both fill out the application, they both go before the commission, and the commission within 30 days decides whether we're going to delay this or not delay this.
No, so it's a two-step process. So the first step, the first meeting, is a regular public meeting. And at that meeting, the commission will determine if the building is historically or architecturally significant. So again, George Washington slept here, whatever it may be, that, you know, raises the building to a certain level of significance or importance.
Yep.
If they say no, there's nothing significant about this building, then, you know, great, you can go up to inspectional services, get your building, your demolition permit, move forward. If they say yes, within 30 days, we'll schedule an official public hearing. And so for that, we've added an abutter notice requirement, notice to planning board and the district city councilor. That public hearing, we will determine if the building should be preferentially preserved. And that basically means, is the building so significant in such a state of preservation that we should do more to try and preserve this building? If they say no, that, you know, for whatever reason, yeah, it's significant, but, you know, maybe it's in really poor condition, something like that, then you can go ahead with a demolition permit. If they say yes, it should be preferentially preserved, that is when the delay is imposed.
So
that would go from 1 year to 2 years?
Yes. Well, it's currently 6 or 12 months.
And you want to go from 12 to 1?
Well, we would go from 6 to 12 full 2 years for everything.
Everything 2 years.
Yes.
In the specific changes, one thing we add to this that's different than other bylaws I've seen is you say historically or architecturally significant. Why should the bylaw include architecturally significant, which is not a defined term and is not... I'm trying to figure out how you afford someone due process. So in a scenario where everyone in Brian's neighborhood decides, you know what, we don't want Brian to tear down his house, and we decide that it's architecturally significant, which is not defined, so Brian can't tear down his house. He's got to wait 2 years because he lives in a Campanelli slab because his neighbors don't like him or don't like his house or don't like something else. How do we avoid someone not getting due process?
Well, I think the question of architectural significance goes back to the National Register criteria. There is a criteria for architectural significance, and it's generally, is it exemplary example of an architectural style, of a specific maker, a specific craftsman, a method of construction, things like that.
But is that under historic, or is it by itself?
They're two pieces. So, historic tends to be, what happened, how does the property relate to the history of Framingham? Architectural is, again, is it sort of a high style example of an architectural style?
Yep.
Is it designed by a notable architect? Things like that.
But it would also be 75 years old.
Yeah, it would still be 75 years old.
It'd still be be older than 75 years.
Yeah.
So most of your older buildings, you add that architectural thing, I think, in order to say impose why you would be imposing a delay, because the building has an extra thing to it that should be preserved.
So for instance, you could say the train station downtown, it's train station, who cares, it's train station.
Right.
But it was designed by Henry Hobson Richardson.
Correct. Right.
So, that's where the architectural significance comes in. It may not be that, whatever, a bunch of people live there, move through the house, and that's great,
right.
But it's a significant piece of architecture. It was designed by someone. You need to you want to be able to capture all those things. You don't want to just depend on the history of the property to determine significance.
Okay. The last, I guess, question I had looking at this is looking at some of the other bylaws. Some of them had areas of buildings that are not included. I know there's a provision in here that says if there's, the commissioner can issue a building permit. So the question is, should there be either categories or areas where you would avoid this fitting in? So in this bylaw, it's certain zones within the community, it's certain areas, it's certain things that are otherwise either protected or not involved. Like, for example, should we say, Campanelli slabs are not included? And I'm not saying we should.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking questions to sort of flesh this out, think about it.
So I guess the one thing that, the Massachusetts Historical Commission will say about bylaws, demolition delay bylaws, and having things like lists in there, is that you can always miss something. And you need the information to back up your inclusion of a property in a list. So for instance, we don't necessarily know, we haven't done a lot of work to document all of the Campanellis. So, while, yes, generally we know where the Campanellis are, we don't know for sure that, this one is and this one isn't. So to say, we're going to remove every building designed by or built by the Campanellis, it's a little tough.
It's vague.
It's very vague. And so I would avoid something like that, I think. Again, if the Campanellis are a concern, we look back at the year or something.
I'm just using them as an example because there were thousands of them built in a very short window of time.
Yeah.
And they are frequently neighborhood conflicts.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out someplace where someone's...
If you go into the Campanelli developments, you ride around, more in Natick than Framingham. Every third one has already had the roof taken off and had a second story.
That's what they're doing. They're not tearing them down.
They're
adding the second
floor.
Down.
Yeah.
Right.
Or they're taking the garage space and making that a living space.
Yeah, I'm saying this. I mean, I've already done two Campanellis in Natick where we've taken the roof off and put a modular second floor on them.
Those look nice.
There
are a bunch of those in Framingham, too.
Yes, but I'm saying that's basically what's happening. The Campanelli becomes a colonial and it's, triple in value.
Right.
And then again, that's not something that's going to come to us. That's just something that would go through inspectional services through your regular permitting system.
Once it was 75 years, I wonder if that would come to us if they were going in to be able to do a, you know, demo the roof, or it would be an addition, so probably demoing the roof probably would never even come up.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
This is a good list, by the way, just flipping through this.
And that's an old list, that's 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've added a few properties since then.
Right. So. The superintendent's house, by the way.
Which superintendent's house?
At MCI.
Okay.
It's a beautiful old building.
We got to work on that.
It would make a great home for the Historical Society.
I got a question.
But they're letting it go.
Yeah.
They've been doing that for decades.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Can you tell the status, you know, the zoning board, we jumped through hoops to help you folks?
This was updated to 2018.
For that Pleasant Street property,
yeah,
you know, when they were trying to cut it up, not cut it up, and there was all different rumors on the street,
yeah,
and then Sue Craig and I, we got a lot of heat, but we didn't want them to get three lots there.
Yeah,
we thought two was more than fair.
Yeah,
and we got them to agree, and we put it in the condition, but it's still sitting there. I go by it twice a day.
We're working on that. A new property owner did purchase it after it was split. He purchased the single lot. Right. The previous owner still owns the back lot.
So a new person bought the house. Bought that front house.
Yes, okay. And so he actually lives in town. He lives around the corner, and he owns a roofing business. And he had originally told us that he was going to be doing a lot of the work himself on the house. And
more
he
than
has,
roof.
Yeah, I know it's a lot more. He has been doing something down there, but in recent weeks we've noticed that
just a lot of debris outside.
There's a lot of debris outside.
No dumpster, no nothing.
There's some windows open, and the fire department put an X on it. So we're trying to check in with him and kind of figure out.
It's got the three X's.
Yeah, it means do not enter. It's
Yeah. So we're trying to figure out what's going on with that.
Luke Colton, Ghostbusters.
And you know, see if we can get that. Unfortunately, you know, it is a historic district now as well, but the historic district regulations do not compel anyone to do anything with their property.
Right.
We can't make him do anything. You know, it would just be sort of under inspectional services as like a nuisance property.
Right.
So, but we're working on it.
Right. Now, the only other thing that came down now is the water. The letter from the mayor, that you can have that if you want.
I'll take that in case we have any. We need it during the debate.
Right, Jen?
Yeah. And it's on the Historical Commission's website, too. So.
Yep. We should enter into the record the package from the mayor dated February 20, 2020, which includes a transmission and a note to the mayor on November 4, 2019, just so the public record includes both.
She parked in the city clerk's spot, not in her own spot when I pulled in.
Wait till the city clerk finds out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're not open tonight.
No.
So, other things that you think we should know or understand as part of this as we proceed in the process?
I don't think so. I think the only question was the question of the delay period, that the commission is looking to move to 2 years.
The commission, well, we voted for 2 years.
So tell me, why was the vote 3-2? When I read through the mayor's package, it said, who were the two people who voted against it? What was their, what did they want instead of 2 years?
1 year.
They wanted just to do
right.
1 year.
And then, if you notice in the article, the staff had recommended 1 year, told you know one complete year, but then, like you say, we had quite a bit of discussion on it, and
so I understand, so the staff, that's you, mm-hmm. recommended 1 year.
Recommended
and
1 year.
Two
1 year
them,
for all properties, so not splitting 6 and 12, just 1 year for everything.
And the commission split 3-2 on that.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, and we're missing a couple members. I think if there were a couple other members that actually showed up, it would have been either a tie vote or it would have been a vote the other way to not go for the 2 years.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Silva? What do you think?
Well, I voted for the. I'm one of the two.
Right. So you staff's recommendation.
Yep.
That's why we have staff and people that know more
well,
than
no,
all of us.
I mean, like I said, I was in favor of the 1 year, but I was in favor of the process that we put together, the whole thing where it came to us, it come to our meeting. If it was significant, then we'd hold a public hearing. The other things is we move, change everything from 15 days to 30,
month, yeah.
because on the 15-day one, if that came in...
Right, I get it. It disrupts your calendar.
In the middle of the month, we would have to have a special hearing, or if we didn't have the hearing, it would automatically, you know, get a delay because we didn't have the hearing.
So that's why
everything's changed to make it commission-friendly and also applicant-friendly, the way we have it right now.
So let's explore this a little bit. In the course of a year, in the world of permitting, is a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all kinds of studies and architectural and everything else. What happens, Jen, in that year? So let's say during the year, like a property on Pleasant Street, there's disagreement.
Yeah.
And the owner doesn't want to do one thing and you want to do another thing. And you get up against 11 months and 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to stop the clock from ticking?
Nothing.
Yeah.
So the clock just runs out.
Right, it runs out. What some people have done... They waited the whole year, and this was happening on 613 Pleasant Street. The clock was running out, and then all of a sudden, everybody got a little involved, more involved in it, because they realized this was really an historic house that should be saved. And then they went and went to go try to get it to be
the historic district.
And that's when everybody got together and they came up with the agreement to save it, and the landowner. But, I mean, he came into our meeting, and we had a meeting, and we put the delay on. Then we asked him a couple times if he would come in. And, you know, the only thing, when we put the delay on, that's all we can do is put the delay on. We tried to work with the applicant to see if there's anything that could be done to...
So the only penalty
him,
for the applicant
convince
is time.
Him to,
yes.
Yeah, convince him to do something about it. And then, they have the options. Now, what we also say is we're going to put a one-year delay, because that's all we could do now. We'll put a one-year delay on. But, you know, look at what you possibly could do and come back into us in a couple of months and see if you've come up with any ideas or anything you could change. And then, you know, we don't say we're going to reconsider our vote. We're going to take and turn the, we could then, you know, in 2 months or so, we could, you know, rescind our vote if there's nothing that can be done. You know, but like I say, other times people have... waited out the year and...
How old was that house on Pleasant Street?
1780s.
Wow, old.
Yeah. So what happened with that was, so the commission had imposed the delay in like September or so. And
is that in 2019 or 18? 19, right? I was on the zoning board.
17?
Was
it, a while ago.
It was a while ago. Okay, so yeah.
Because it ended up being about a two-year process.
Okay, so...
And so we had imposed the delay, and then... I think it was actually in 2017, September. And then in November, I called the property owner and I said, you know, if you're willing to come back with more information, because, you know, he was saying that the property was going to be so expensive to fix and, you know, it needed all this work. But he didn't really have any, like, hard figures for us. He just, you know, had a contractor walk through it and basically say, oh, the house is falling down, you know. And so I had called him and said, you know, if you'd like to come back and, you know, show the commission that there's, you know, so many issues with it, or it's going to cost, you know, $2 million to fix it or whatever it is, you can certainly do that. And he said no. If he said yes and he'd brought in some numbers, what Paul is saying is the commission can actually waive the demolition period, the delay period, before
right.
it expires. So it's, you know, it's not hard and fast, you know, you have to wait 1 year, you have to wait 2 years, they can waive it.
It's a flexibility.
But again, it's up to the property owner to work with the commission. That's really our only carrot or stick in this case. You know, we don't have any other, ways to make a property owner work with us. If they just want to sit there for a year, they can unfortunately just sit there for a year. What we ultimately decided to do with 613 Pleasant Street, because we do have a city council now, we knew that we could move faster with local historic district designation rather than having to wait for town meeting or trying to fit that in.
We would have still been waiting.
Would have been forever, yeah.
So
at least for that.
We were able,
gone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We would have been able to move a lot faster with City Council.
Yeah.
And so we knew that we could get that designated as a historic district within, you know, the process that we had. So
you do have some tools that you can get done within a year, as limited as they are.
Yes. And so obviously if, you know, now that we know, now that we've done it, you know, we know that we can do it within a year to designate a historic district. So if a property, you know, rises to that level of significance, we can certainly move forward with that within a year. And I think we would move a lot quicker now.
You know this stuff better than I do. What do you think?
This process is better than what exists today. I'll give you that. I'm seeing different ends of it on both sides of the coin, to be honest with you.
And the buildings inspector is on board with this.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mike Tessino, in all fairness to the building commissioner, you know, he gets the permit, and then people start screaming and yelling, and the permit's not even issued, and they think the permit's issued in some cases that I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. So, long story short, this does make the process a little bit better, because you're absolutely right. You disconnect utilities, you have the asbestos abatement company come in, you have F&W do their pest control assessment, and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, if you implement it, then there's no utilities.
Yeah.
In a house that I'm familiar with, you wouldn't let your animals live in it, to be honest with you, but you'll see that sooner or later. It's, the people that live there that we bought it from, it's awful, but we'll deal with that when the time comes.
But
this process is better for all parties concerned. I don't like the 2 years. I agree, you know, that's why we have people that know more than all of us. And then, and you've been doing this as long as I've known you, since I was a kid. And, you know, if you do the full 1 year, I think that if you left the 75 and stuck to the 1 year, the vote was 3-2. The woman that made the recommendation recommended 1 year, but what this does is tightens up the process, so at least the process goes from A to B to C instead of from A to Z back to B and C. This gives it a better system to follow, I think.
So what I hear you saying is you like everything except the
2 years,
so
it
changes.
It's too long.
I wouldn't
and I'm just one
that.
Person, but I think this new process is much better.
And truthfully, if you look at the paperwork, I think whoever reviewed it at the mayor's office, they agreed with everything on there.
Except that.
Except for the 2 years.
Correct.
Yeah, I know, I saw that.
I read that letter.
You know,
they withheld judgment on that.
Which, you people are the experts. I text Tracy
then,
just to see if she was coming,
you know,
and I got no answer, just so you know.
The only other thing is, even if it was a 1 year or a 2 year, if we had some tools to work with, once we put the delay on, it would be a different story. We don't have any, you know, we can't tell. You know, like that Pleasant Street, we even asked to go in and look at it so we could determine what the condition, and he says no.
And if he was smart, he would have let you in, to be honest with you. People, you know, I'd rather work with you, then you can see what the problem is.
Yeah.
It's just like the Sarah Clay's house, my neighbor. It looks a lot better than it did.
Yeah.
But I still am dumbfounded over the Harvey windows and different things that took place there, because the windows in my house are Anderson Eagles. The windows, I won't say how much the windows cost, but real divided light, which you would have thought would be in a house like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, things happen, but at least it's preserved. It looks a lot better. When they opened up that landscaping or that whole area, the whole house took on a whole new light. It was beautiful. You never could see it before with all that brush. Because
yeah.
I originally went to that auction when the donut lady got it from Honeydew Donuts, and then she couldn't buy it because they couldn't give her the title.
It was,
and kudos to you folks and Steve Meltzer, who's was a colleague of mine on the zoning board. He put a lot of time and effort in to get that thing resolved and you people to work it out. And it does. If you go buy it now, it looks 100% better than it ever did. And I guess it's two professors from BC, my alma mater, so that's even better. Yeah, back there, you too.
So as I read this, Jen, as I read what the mayor has sent us, they didn't take a position 1 year or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't touch that piece at all.
They
left it as it is today. It would be helpful if you could give us the markup as to what it takes for a year.
I noticed that they had sort of put that in there.
They didn't take any amendment on that.
Yeah, so I do have a markup where that's corrected because we actually have to take out like two sections in there.
So it sounds like we're building consensus amongst ourselves for a year. And the way this is written in 21.3.6 is the way it's written today, which is 6 months and a year.
Yeah.
If you want to get us language that changes that so that it'd be appropriate for a year.
Because then I have to delete the next section. The A.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I see that. So we can do that. Is that your intention?
Yep.
Okay. So you want to make a motion that we approve it as presented with the change in 21-3 to make it 1 year.
It's a public hearing. See if somebody wants to speak from the public.
I asked if you want to speak.
Did you want to speak?
Actually, I have a question.
Before he did the motion, I want to make sure everybody saw it.
It could have gone either way. I didn't.
Okay.
One's a question, actually, one's a comment, I guess. On a question, just as a regular resident, just because the 75 year keeps coming up over and over again. If that happens, just from a regular person's point of view, how much delay does that add? Right, like you're going in for a demo, mm-hmm. and right now, if you're under the 75, you just go to the building commissioner mm-hmm. and go through that. Now you've got this 30-day, up to 30 days mm-hmm. for the commission to kind of make its decision. Yeah. So does that pretty much add, should a regular person think that when I put a demo in my house is over 75, I have to potentially bank on the worst case scenario of another 30 days?
That's the best case scenario.
Well, yeah, but for a regular house, that's never going to qualify. Yeah.
But the building commission has 4 weeks. Our building department, like any building department, has four weeks, up to 30 days to issue any kind of permit upstairs. But if it goes to them first, it's probably 30 or 45 days on the best case.
So the reason we're moving it to 30 days is mostly because right now it's like 10 working days. And so if we get an application like in the middle of the month, you know, we have to call a special meeting for that. It's a little harder to get things together. But it could potentially be.
He can have those.
You can have them if you want.
You know, we might have a meeting.
Yeah, I mean,
they're online, but you don't have to.
You sure?
It could potentially be up to 30 days,
okay.
But
thank
we're
you.
More likely to
but
have,
I'm saying you can have
a meeting.
Yeah, you sure you can have me say that? I want to make sure you're all right with that. Thank you.
The other one's a comment for him.
Yeah, Paul, comment to you.
It was more just you had mentioned about you kind of gave, and I don't have a feeling either way, actually. It's just more, I heard you give a side for the 1 year, but the 2 year was actually what won on your commission, right?
Yes.
That won 3-2?
Yes.
Yes.
2 years. What was the case for that? You haven't told them that, right?
But what was the case for 2 years?
Why did three win?
The discussion was basically the reason they wanted to go to 2 year. One member kept pushing for the 2 year, saying if we have a 2 year delay, it'll. I don't know, trying to figure out his wording, but
force them to work with us.
Delay would force, you would think about it before you even came before the board. If you knew we could put a 2 year delay on you or something
like
that.
It was a big stick, is what you know.
If you go in there and they put a 2 year delay on it, you know, legally they can hold you up for 2 years. You know, it was under the in the planning stage, it could change their thinking, knowing that there was a, if they were looking at a building, that was more of it, right?
Yeah.
If they were looking at an old building and they said this could get a 2 year delay, then they might not try to buy it and redevelop it, something like that.
Yeah, to me it was just more the other side of Edinburgh,
yes.
That's all.
Yeah,
it was kind of.
Yeah.
Anything else, Brian?
No.
I'll make a motion. We approve or recommend approval to the full council as presented, the new application process with a maximum of the 1 year delay, not the 2 year delay.
Okay, I'll second that. Anyone want to talk about that?
Maybe you should put the word in the what. Doesn't the letter from the mayor say they recommended the 1 year? It's right in the letter.
I think it just left it open.
The mayor's recommendation left that particular detail empty, open ended.
Oh, she said 1 year, but they didn't. They said it would be up to the commission or up to the board. Yeah, that's right. Okay, she didn't say she preferred 1 year, but if you read it over, she more or less.
Okay. Yeah. No. Because the amendment they gave us on that section doesn't change the existing bylaw at all.
Right.
So they left it at 6 and 12, which is fine. It doesn't. I don't know that matters.
In the document, it said that it's a 24-month delay proposed, but staff recommended 1 year. Is it? That's in the.
That's in there. Yep.
Yes. You know, just so it comes out.
When we get to the floor of the council, we'll raise that and make sure everybody knows that.
They know the staff recommended.
It would be helpful.
The vote was 3-2. Two people were not present, or a few folks weren't present, and we'll make our case to the full city council because we need 8 votes to pass it.
Right. Right. It would be helpful if you could email me the draft that accomplishes that purpose.
Yep.
All those in favor of Mr. Ottaviani's motion? Vote is 2-0. Let the record note that Tracy Bryan is not in attendance. Anything further?
Yeah, we gotta keep. I go by it all the time, but we gotta keep an eye on
superintendent's house.
The prison.
Oh, the superintendent's house is gorgeous.
I know. I mean, like I said, they're letting it fall apart and everything.
But they're spending no money on it.
Even when the state decides to get rid of the prison, somehow, you know, that building's got to be saved. You know.
So the 565 acres, you're right. Most of that property is modular and new and whatnot.
Yeah,
but that old section of the prison is historic.
Superintendent, you know.
Clara Barton lived there. I mean, there's a lot of rich history that
house.
Goes there. And it's a beautiful building.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when you pull in the parking lot now to check it, right, if you stay too long, two guards come up drive in and pin you in, say, what are you doing here? I just look at the building. You got to look from the street, they tell me.
Yeah.
But no, I know you've mentioned that.
My wife wanted to make sure,
you know, she's going to be on your tour about saving that.
Good.
You know.
That's important. That was I had done some work on that when I was a state rep in the 90s, and we weren't successful. We got some money to study it, but we got no money to actually preserve it.
Right, and you know, and there was we got a copy of the study they did. I mean, there's a, you know, the cost of that study probably could have saved the building. You know,
well, they were intentional about that. They were willing to give us. I forget who the governor was at the time. It might have been Weld. Governor Weld was willing to give us the money to study it, but he wasn't willing to give us the money to shore it up and preserve it, because they didn't really want to preserve it.
Yep.
You know, and they weren't going to go along with that. Anything else before us tonight? A motion is in order to adjourn?
Member reports? Or no? I have
no. Oh, yeah.
I have no member report.
I got no member report.
Motion to adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Second. All in favor? 2-0. We adjourn at 6:43.
Can we talk a little bit off the record about...